إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إن الحمد لله Verily all praises are for Allah belong all the praise. And we praise Him, and we worship Him, and we seek His help. And we place our trust in Him. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided, none will be able to lead him astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray, none will be able to guide him. I bear witness that Allah is one, that He has no partners. And that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and most beloved messenger and slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, have fear of Allah, have taqwa, have remembrance of Allah, the way that He deserves to be remembered. And do not die except in a state of complete submission, except as a complete Muslim. O mankind, fear your Rabb, fear your Lord, for He created you from one soul, and from that soul He created its partner, and from both of them He created countless men and women. And fear Allah, for it is through Him that you maintain your rights. And keep the ties of your family. Verily, Allah is an all-watcher over what you do. O you who believe, have remembrance of Allah. And only speak the truth. If you do this, Allah will change your actions into good deeds, and He will forgive your sins. And whomsoever has believed in Allah and the last messenger has already attained the greatest of achievements. My elders, brothers, mothers, and sisters, I greet you today with the greeting of the Friday Jummah. And for those of you who do not know, we have entered into one of the most blessed months of the year, the month of Muharram. And today is the 9th day of Muharram. Tomorrow is the 10th. And the 10th day of Muharram is a very special day. It is the day of Ashura. And inshallah, on this day was the day that Musa alayhi salam was saved from Pharaoh. He was saved from the evil Pharaoh. This was the day when his people were liberated. When the followers of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam were saved. And they were no longer being persecuted. They were no longer being enslaved. They were no longer being killed and tortured. They were finally given their freedom. And so on this day, previously, the Jews, they would fast on this day. Out of remembrance of this day, out of thankfulness of this day. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard about this, he said that we love Musa more than you do. We love Musa alayhi salam more than you do. And so we should also fast this day. When we fast the day of Ashura, and either the day before it, which would have been today, or the day after it, we gain a great reward. We gain the reward of having all of our evil deeds, all the minor sins, completely erased from the year before. SubhanAllah. In one day, you can have an entire year's worth of minor evil deeds completely erased. And so I highly encourage you to keep this in mind, that tomorrow should be a day that if you have the ability to, you should fast. And the day after as well. But one of the other things that I would like to speak with you about is, in the beginning of this khutbah, I keep saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. I keep saying this over and over again. And you may have noticed, I have difficulty translating taqwa. Sometimes I say, fear your Lord. Sometimes I say, remember your Lord. Sometimes I say, have consciousness of your of Allah. Which one is it? What is taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has divided the believers into different categories. You have the category of the person who submits. The one who does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to do. And that is the Muslim. The Muslim comes from the root word of Salama. And Salama means one who submits. He submits his will to Allah. He doesn't say, whatever my desires are, I will do that. He says, whatever Allah desires, I will do that. And so he doesn't follow his stomach. If he's hungry and he's supposed to be fasting, he doesn't follow his stomach. He follows Allah. When he wants to look at something evil, whether it's a half-naked woman or whether it's something on the computer or on the television, he doesn't follow the lustful gaze that his eyes tell him to look at. He follows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to do. When he's sleepy in the morning and he doesn't want to get out of bed, it's cold. The water will be cold. When you do, will do. But he gets up anyways. And he says, Alhamdulillah, I got up, and he goes and he makes wudu and he prays. He gives up his sleep. He doesn't listen to his desires. He listens to the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different ranks, different honors that he gives to different people. And you have the mu'min. You have the mu'min, the one who has iman. The one who has faith. The one who believes in the last day. He believes that there is a day of judgment. He believes in the prophets. He believes in the angels. He believes in the books. And he reads them. And he understands them. And from this, he develops a love in his heart. The mu'min has something that fills his chest. Something that gives him peace. Something that brings him close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues to raise the ranks. He then says, the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these people, for them, the gardens, they will have a huge place in the paradise. A high, high level in paradise. And the muttaqeen are the ones who have taqwa. They are the ones who have taqwa. And so what is taqwa? Umar bin Khattab, one time he asked one of the other Sahaba, he said, radiallahu anhu, he said, what is taqwa? And the man said, have you ever gone through a place where there's a lot of thorns? There's a lot of thorns that can grab your clothes. And Umar bin Khattab, he said, yes. And so he said, well, how did you walk through that place? He said, well, I tried to keep my clothes from, you know, going out so that they won't get stuck on the thorns. And I would look, and everywhere I'd look, I'd make sure there's no thorns before I would step. So I wouldn't step in something. I'd be very careful when I'd walk. And the man said, this is taqwa. This is taqwa. When you have consciousness, when you realize that there are things around you that can hurt you, and you try to protect yourself from this, this is taqwa. But taqwa is even greater than this. Taqwa. A man was dying. One of the Sahaba was dying. And he went, and the Prophet ﷺ, he came to visit him. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, in my chest, I'm happy that I will see Allah. I feel this love that I will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm afraid of what I've done. I'm afraid of all the evil things that I've done. And I'm not sure if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. And so I have fear. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he says that when these two feelings come in a man's chest, he has taqwa. When he has love and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they come together in one chest, this man has taqwa. And taqwa is the two wings that will lift a person up to paradise. Imagine two wings, one which is hope, which is love, and one which is fear. When these two things come together, they form a balance with each other. And they help elevate a person up to paradise. When you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the things that He's done for you, and when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the evil things that you've done, this is when you find taqwa. This is when you find that peace. And the highest of levels, The Muhsin is the man who does Ihsan. The man who does Ihsan. And what is Ihsan? Ihsan is like perfection. Imagine you're doing something and you want to do it so perfectly that you get everything out of it. Ihsan is when you try to be perfect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you try to do the best for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, do ihsan with your parents. Have ihsan with your parents. He doesn't say only if they're Muslim. He doesn't say only be nice to your parents if they're nice to you. He doesn't say be nice to your parents when you feel like it. He says be nice to your parents. Do ihsan with your parents. Have perfection with your relationship with them. And a man asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, what are the rights of my parents? What can they demand from me? What can they ask me? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, they are your paradise and your hellfire. They are your paradise and your hellfire. SubhanAllah, these two people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen for us in our lives, when we are harsh with them, when we speak badly to our parents, when we say evil things to them, how heavy is that? How heavy is that? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next people who we should fear, the next people who we should love, are our parents. Our mothers who bared us for 9 months, carried us in our stomach, and then afterwards delivered us with such difficulty. And then raised us up. How can we be cruel to such a person? How can we ignore such a person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us good manners. And He did it through these prophets that He sent us. And the best of manners was in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He had the best of manners. And He would visit His mother, even though she had died. And He would cry at her grave, remembering her, even though she spent very little time with Him before she passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these reminders. And He teaches us how we should deal with our family. Our aunts, our mother's sisters, our father's sisters, they are like our mothers. They have the same rights as our mothers. We should treat them the same way. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, they are like your mothers. And our grandparents, our mother's father, and our mother's mother, and our father's mother, and our father's father. These people, they have the rights of our own parents. When they get sick, do we ask about them? Do we worry about them? Whether or not they're praying? Whether or not they're coming to the masjid? Do we worry about them, or do we keep chasing after this dunya? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, save yourselves. Save yourselves and your family. And your family from the hellfire. Save yourselves and your family from the hellfire. And you only do this by reaching out to them and by having good manners with them. And the person who is al-wasil, the one who has good manners with his family, he's not the person who's nice to the family member who's nice to him. If your family does something nice to you, it's easy to be nice to that person. Al-wasil, the one who is good to his family, he is the man who is good to the family member who is harsh with him. The family member who won't talk to you, you keep coming to him and you greet him. The family member that treats you badly, that steals from you, that's harsh with you, that curses you, go to him and forgive him. Go to her and forgive her. Speak to them. And do not bear grudges with them. Open your hearts and help them, help the Muslims become together again. And do not keep this in your heart, for it does not benefit you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and keep our families together. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْفَاسْتَغْفِرُوا هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I say this and I ask forgiveness for myself and for you and for all the Muslims. So you also ask forgiveness. Verily Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Bismillah. Walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one thing that distracts us the most in this life is this dunya. Is the dunya that we chase after. And most of us are businessmen. We go out there and we chase the dunya. We try to earn a living for ourselves. And there's nothing evil about that. But sometimes it makes us forget about the next life. And when this happens, it can destroy us. But many of us are very good at business. We understand business. We know how to do good at business. We make money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us that each and every one of us has the opportunity to either earn the paradise or earn the hellfire. Sounds like a business almost that you can succeed at and make profits, or you can lose. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, would you like to make a good trade? Oh, you who believe, would you like to make a good trade? One that will prevent you from going, having a painful torment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he calls this life a trade. You're going to trade something for something else. You live this life, and at the end of it, you get something in return. You trade this life for something else. What are you going to trade it for? And I ask you about a businessman. Imagine a businessman. And he opens a business, and he's really lazy. He never goes to his business. He sits there, customers come in, they're like, I want to buy this. He's like, yeah, go away, I'll do it later. He never fixes anything in the business. It looks horrible. Is he going to make any money? Probably not. What about the other businessman? The one who makes lots of money. The one who has so many things. He has 4 or 5 businesses that are open. He's running all of them. And now you have another man. He says, I want to be like that guy. So he goes out and he opens 4 or 5 businesses, but he has no idea what he's doing. He opens 4 or 5 businesses. Is he going to make money? He'll take a huge loan. He doesn't know what he's doing. All 5 of his businesses will fail right away. He went too quickly. Now what about a man? He has a good business. He makes lots of money. But all of his friends come over to his business and they take all of his stuff. Imagine he sells food and his friends come over every day and they eat all of his food. Is he going to make any money? Probably not. And I'm telling you these examples because it's almost like these are what people do with their own lives. The man who's lazy, he's not going to make any good deeds. If you do not compete for good deeds, how do you expect to earn paradise? If you do not compete for good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, race with each other, compete with each other for good deeds. And this is how you earn paradise. The man who goes out and starts waking up before Fajr and doing Qiyam al-Layl, and he fasts every single day, and he gives all of his money for charity, and then 2 weeks later you see him and he's like, I can't do that anymore. It's the same thing. Businesses don't start overnight. They start with little steps. And you have to do one little thing every single day to keep trying to grow this business. And you don't start up here, you start down here. And the man who has bad friends, when he comes, even if he's doing all these good deeds, but with his friends he's backbiting, with his friends he's going out and doing bad things, whether drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, going to parties. His friends teach him bad things at work, to steal stuff, to lie. All of his good deeds are going away. His friends are helping him destroy it. They're eating them. And the man who makes lots of money. Imagine a man who runs a business, but yet he leaves the faucet on all day long. The water is constantly running. All the lights are always running. He doesn't care about the expenses. Is he going to make money? No. The same way that a man, it doesn't matter what good deeds he does, if he keeps doing evil deeds, he's not going to make anything. His evil deeds will eat all of his good deeds. He'll have no profits left over. We understand these concepts, and yet with Islam, with this religion, we sometimes forget about it. And so, I tell you, ittaqallah. Fear Allah. This is not just a joke. If this business fails, you do not just get to start a new one. You have eternity to think about it in the hellfire. And if you succeed, you get the best of rewards. The best of rewards from the best of kings. He will give you the best of kingdoms. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of these people. I ask Allah to give us hidayah so that we continue to do good deeds and to prevent us from doing evil deeds. Oh Allah, make us of those people who are the Muslims, who are the mu'mins, who are the muttaqeen, who are the muhsineen. I ask Allah to give us the highest levels of paradise with the prophets. Oh Allah, make our hearts pure and never allow them to go astray. Oh Allah, make us of those people who are one family, and do not let our families go astray. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين وللمؤمنات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. أقيموا الصلاة.